Father, we thank you once again for bringing us, all of us together, to worship at your feet. Thank you for the privilege of being called your sons. Thank you, Father, for the blood with which you have purchased us, the precious blood of your own Son. Father, as we gather this morning, let your blessings be ours. Let the glory be yours, O Lord. Each and every one of us, we come that we might receive of you today. Let no one go empty, Father. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, peradventure, our bodies might be infirmed as we have been praying for those who, Lord, are ill amongst us. Let there be healing. Let the eyes of the blind be opened. Let those who are dead to the things of the Spirit be resurrected today. Let this day be the day of salvation of somebody here. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Above all, Jesus, please open our eyes that we might behold you in all that we do. Father, you sit upon the throne of your church. Be exalted, Lord, we pray, that all that we do before you will not be in the flesh, will be in the Spirit, as you teach us to live in the Spirit, as you teach us to walk in the Spirit. May the glory and honor, may the adoration, majesty, dominion, authority, power that has always been yours forever be yours, our God. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Lord's name be praised. How many of us are firstborns in this place? Oh, mommy, grandma is the firstborn. Wow. Okay. Today we are going to talk about faith in light of the everlasting principle of what God designed in his word, demonstrated in the Old Testament, in how he dealt with Israel, how he dealt with the patriarchs of old, and the types and shadows of what he did in the Old Testament being fulfilled in the New Testament, in the coming of Jesus.
We're going to take a look at quite a few scriptures today, so I might need help with reading some of the scriptures. For the sake of time, I will not dwell too long, so if you get out your pens and papers, there are quite a few scriptures that we'll be looking at today. I'll start with reading a story from Genesis 25. Let's all open to the book of Genesis, chapter 25. And I'll be reading from the latter part of Genesis 25. Let's open to verse 27. Genesis 25 from verse 27. And Rome, okay, if you will please help me read from verse 27 to the end of that chapter. You have the New Living Translation. Yes.
As the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoor man, but Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home. Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating the wild game Esau brought home, but Rebekah loved Jacob. One day, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness, exhausted and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, "I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew." This is how Esau got his other name, Edom, which means red. "All right," Jacob replied, but trade me your rights as the firstborn son. Look, I'm dying of starvation, said Esau. What good is my birthright to me now? But Jacob said, first you must swear that your birthright is mine. So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left. He showed contempt for his rights as the firstborn son.
Could you read that verse 34 again?
Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left. He showed contempt for his rights as the firstborn.
Thank you. This very short story has far-reaching implications, which we are going to explore today, which would, I hope, would help us in the way we approach the things of the Spirit. I hope it will help us in gaining a better understanding of the things that are precious before God. We read in the Bible that we should not cast our pearl before swine. And what that means is that there are some things in the Christian walk of a believer that are meant to be precious, that are meant to be sacred. It's not everything that we take light of. It's not everything that we take with levity. There are certain things in the walk of a Christian who is going to be serious about the things of the Spirit, that they will take certain things serious and they will take certain things as holy. Now, there are things profane, there are things that are sacred. In this story, the background of this story about these two brothers that were twins, Esau and Jacob, is that they were born with one brother in the womb holding on to the heel of the other brother. As the culture at that time will have it, it is the child that opens the womb, the child that comes out first, that is considered the firstborn. You know, in some cultures, as long as they are twins, they are equal. But in this particular Eastern culture, the child that opened the womb was Esau. And so, though they were twins, though they had equal standing, as the many cultures will have them have it, but in this particular culture, Esau was considered the firstborn because he was the one that came out of the womb first, even though his brother, you know, was holding his foot. Now, he talked about it that there was a time Esau, being an outdoors man, you know, he was a hunter, went out into the field to catch game. As some of us, like my dear brother Peter, would have it, you know, we go out, he goes out hunting for rabbit and rats and squirrels. But here, he went out hunting for game. And his father, being a man of like passion like me, he loved to eat game. He loved to eat as soon. He loved to eat wild meat. And because of that, he loved Esau. His heart was, you know, bound with Esau. Jacob was a stay-at-home man. He was a mommy's boy. He was one that will sit with mommy, that will talk with mommy, that will do mommy's bidding. And so Jacob was one that was loved by the mother. Now, there was something that happened on this particular day, that Esau, being an outdoors man, he went out, hunted, and came back, was hungry, was famished, was tired, was famished. And his brother, you know, a lot of mommy's boys, they know how to cook very well. His brother had cooked lentil soup, stew, red stew. And Esau smelt the stew, saw the stew, heard the cooking, and his whole, every sense within his body said, I want this stew. And Jacob, being a man who he was right from the womb, as his name would have it, supplanter, tricked his brother and said that, well, if you want this stew that I'm making, sell me your birthright. Sell me your birthright. And Esau thought nothing of it and swore an oath. Take note of that. He swore an oath to his brother that he sold him his place as the firstborn son. For what? For rescue and for bread. For stew and bread, he sold his birthright. Now, what is the importance of the birthright, you might ask? Because, you know, why, you know, what is so much about the birthright that it will mean so much to anybody? Now, we have to look at a few scriptures, and this is where we're going to be looking at quite a few scriptures, to see what the importance of the birthright was at that time. Because the nation of Israel, the Jews, the Semites, the children of the line of Seth, the children who came after Enoch, Methuselah, they were not just an ordinary set of people. They were people that had been ordained and chosen by God, that God would demonstrate certain things through them. And we're going to see the importance that God attributed. And because it was God that attributed the importance, it wasn't man. God attributed an importance to the position of a child that opens the womb. Now, let's take a look at there. Quite a few scriptures, like I said. Somebody please open to Exodus 4:22. I'm going to call out all the scriptures first. So as you are writing it down, please, if you can just pick one to read. Exodus 4:22. Exodus 13, verses 2, 12, and 15. Luke 2, 23. Numbers 18, 15. Exodus 13, verses 1 to 2. Am I too fast? Okay, I'll start again. Exodus 4, 22. Exodus 13, 2, 12, and 15. Exodus 2:23. Luke 2:23. Numbers 18:15. Is anybody writing it down? Is that okay, thank you. So Numbers 18:15. Exodus 13:1-2. Leviticus 27:26. Deuteronomy 15, 19 to 23. Exodus 22, 29 to 30. Exodus 13, 11 to 16. All right, so we're going to read all these scriptures, and I'm picking all these scriptures just for us to know, you know, because in the preponderance of scriptures, we know we can establish what God is trying to do. We can establish the truth. All right. So let's Exodus 4:22. Will somebody read? Some of them are short scriptures.
Exodus 4:22.
Thank you.
Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn.
So here, God picked Israel, the nation of Israel, as his son, his firstborn. Okay, Exodus 13, 2, 12, 15.
Exodus 13, 2. Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine.
12.
You shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are male shall be the Lord.
15.
For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals.
Okay. Before we go on, what does consecrate mean?
Set apart.
To set something apart. In other terms, they were used to hallow something. That means that thing, it's not for everyday use. You know, they say a lot of women have what they call fine china. Do you know what fine china is? I don't know why they call it fine china. Maybe, you know, fine china is pottery that you put in show glass. You know, in modern homes, few people have show glasses any longer. You know, but back then, people had fine china, which was very expensive pottery, very expensive plates. Do we bring fine china out every day for people to use? No. Does anybody put fine china in the dishwasher? No, we don't. Why? Because it's fine china. It is set apart. You know, when the governor comes, you will set out your fine china because it was your best. Okay? So, in what we know, the firstborns, God asked them of both human and animal, any child, any animal that opens the womb was set apart, it belongs to God. Okay? Luke 2:23.
As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord.
Thank you. So every male shall be called what? Holy. That is the same concept of being set apart. Something that is not ordinary. Something that is a cut above the rest. Numbers 18:15.
Everything that opens the womb of all flesh, whether man or beast, which they offer to the Lord, shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you shall redeem, and the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem.
Okay, we see the importance of the firstborn again. Exodus 13, 1 to 2. Salola, please. Exodus 13, 1 to 2. Oh, you don't have your eyes. All right, somebody borrow her glasses, please.
Exodus 13, 1 to 2. The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine.
Okay. Leviticus 27, 26.
Leviticus 27, 26. But the firstborn of the animals, which shall be the Lord's firstborn, no man shall dedicate, whether it is an ox or sheep, it is the Lord's.
Okay. Deuteronomy 15, 19 to 23. Can Sister Shadi read that? I think she has her eyes here today.
Deuteronomy 15,
19 to 23.
From verse 19. All the firstborn males that are born of your herd and flock, you shall dedicate to the Lord your God. You shall do no work with the firstborn of your herd, nor share the firstborn of your flock. You shall eat it, you and your household, before the Lord your God, year by year, at the place that the Lord will choose. But if it has any blemish, if it is lame or blind, or has any serious blemish, whatever, you shall not sacrifice it to the Lord your God. You shall eat it within your towns. The unclean and the clean alike may eat it, as though it were a gazelle or a deer. Only you shall not eat its blood. You shall pour it out on the ground like water.
Thank you. Exodus 22, 29 to 30.
Exodus 22, 29 to 30. You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce and your juices. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. Likewise, you shall do with your oxen and your sheep. It shall be with its mother 7 days. On the eighth day, you shall give it to me.
Thank you. Exodus 13, 11 to 16.
And it shall come to pass, and it shall be, when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and gives it to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that opens the womb. That is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. Mm-hmm. So it shall be when your sons ask you in time to come, saying, what is this? That you shall say to him, by strength of the hand of the Lord. By strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I have redeemed. It shall be as a sign on your hand and as frontlets between your eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Peter. So, do we all see the importance that God attributed to the firstborn for that culture? Do we all see it? Why, you know, how important it was to God that even if an animal was born, okay, because before they entered Egypt, God now gave them part of the law that for every firstborn, you must redeem the firstborn. For every firstborn of animal, you must redeem that firstborn of the animal. So if you wanted that animal to use it for any purpose, you had to pay to redeem that animal at the temple. Part of it was that any human being that was born, any child that was born, that was the firstborn, if the people were very poor, if the parents were very poor, and they could not afford to redeem with a ram, they could redeem with two turtle doves. Do we remember in scripture who was redeemed with two turtle doves? Jesus. Because his parents were very poor. So there was an importance that God attributed to that of the firstborn. To even God showing by his power that he could cut the strength of Egypt. In the killing of firstborn, not secondborn, not thirdborn, firstborn. Of both animals and the humans. The whole firstborn of all the people in Egypt, of people, of animals, God killed them. And that was a show that God had caught the strength of Egypt. Now, write this down, we won't read it. Genesis 4:4. It shows us where Abel took the firstborn of his own flock, not just anyone. He took the firstborn of his flock to sacrifice before God, to give to God. In Proverbs, we also know that we give to God the first fruits of our increase. So there was something, a spiritual significance. And that spiritual significance did not come through the law. Because who taught Abel to give the firstborn of his flock to God? That was before the law. So there was a significance of something spiritual about this that I believe would have been passed down through the ages. And if you know the history of the Israelites, they always prided themselves when they had a son. Now, because of this importance, do you see how much of a contempt that Esau had for the place of the firstborn. Yes, my dear. Why did the females not get inherited? Because that is the way God designed it. When God made people, he made them male and female. Okay? It doesn't mean that male is more important than female. It just means that, you see, when you are going to stage a play, you can say, Josh, you are going to be the gate man, and Tammy is going to be the king. Does that mean Josh is more important than Tammy? No. But God has given everybody a role to play in his own story of history. So he's given women a role to play. They will be the one that will bear children. He's given a man a role to play. And the role of the firstborn is the role that Jesus ultimately played. But without Mary, Jesus would not have been able to come. So everybody has a role that God has you to play in what God has designed. Does that make sense? Thank you. Now, so we see the kind of contempt it will have been to the face of God, how Esau despised his place as firstborn. Can somebody open to Hebrews 12? Hebrews 12, read verses 16 and 17. And just see how it was described in the book of Hebrews. Thank you. Hebrews 12.
Hebrews 12 from 16, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau.
What did he say?
No one is sexually
that immoral. No one should be sexually or is. Don't practice the kind of behavior that Esau practiced. And see what it was paralleled to. Sexual immorality.
Mm-hmm. Or unholiness.
Like a profane person, like what? Like Esau.
Like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal.
For a single meal.
For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, mm-hmm. he was rejected.
Thank you.
For he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears.
Brothers and sisters, there are certain things that God expects us to hold as sacred. That if we lose it, there is no chance of redemption of such a thing. There are certain things of the spirit that a spiritual man is meant to hold on to and not treat as profane, not treat as common. And Esau treated his birthright as common. Let's go to the book of Hebrews again, chapter 11, where he was listing the people who live by faith. And when he was going to talk about the blessing of the children of these twins, the blessings of Jacob upon his children. Sorry, of Isaac upon his children. How did he put it? I don't remember the verse now, but if you look around, just after the story of Abraham there, it will go on. Sorry? 20 what? Can you read it, please? It was before that. Verse 18. Would you read verse 18? Okay.
Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice.
Yeah.
People and
prophet was about to sacrifice his own one and only son.
Okay.
Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.
Right.
Abraham reasons that God could even raise the dead, and so in the manner of speaking, he did to receive Isaac back from death.
Go on.
Then by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future.
How did he put it? By faith Isaac blessed who?
Jacob and Esau.
Who? But who was the firstborn? He reversed it. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau because the oath that Esau swore had now become an everlasting oath. The oath that Esau swore was now recorded even in the New Testament thousands of years after he swore that oath, because he despised his birthrights because of a bowl of aku and agege bread, because of a pot of lentil and barley bread. Talk about a man after the things of the flesh, driven only by his senses. Now, let us go on, because there's some important truths we're going to pull out of what we are looking at here. Now, we saw that Abel, he offered up the firstborn of his flock before God because that was a sacrifice. That was a sacrifice. In turn, his own brother, Cain, what did he offer? He offered what? He offered just out of what he was a person of the ground. Because some people say, oh, he didn't offer a blood sacrifice. No, I don't think it was about blood sacrifice or not blood sacrifice. He just said, you know how you want to give God something and you give God your best. In another thing, you want to give God something, you know, you don't care if it's just a dollar, something you can use to just take. Somebody takes time to think over, to pray over, to give something to God that means something to the person. Another person gives to God just anyhow. That was the sacrifice of Abel and the sacrifice of Cain. Now, we also know that the Levites were taken by God. You know that there was a tribe of Levites. They didn't have any land. The Levites, God said that they will belong to him in place of every firstborn of Israel, because every firstborn of Israel belonged to him. So that was how God dedicated the Levites to serving at the temple, because ideally, the people who are supposed to serve at the temple of God will have been every firstborn in Israel. But God said he will take the tribe of Levi in lieu or in place or in redemption of every firstborn because they belonged unto him. Also, for Levi, that was in Numbers 3, if you want to look at it later, Numbers 3, 11 to 13. In Deuteronomy 21, 17, God asked that if you as a man, if you have a wife, or if you have more than one wife, and there's a wife you love, a wife you don't love, and the wife you don't love is the one that has given you your firstborn, do not deny that firstborn of the double portion of the blessing that belongs unto him, or the double portion of the inheritance. That was another thing. The way God did it was that every firstborn, that male first child, if they are going to inherit anything, he had the double portion of the inheritance compared to every other sibling. And I'm bringing about that spiritual significance just for us to know the place of the firstborn. There was another firstborn that lost his place. That firstborn lost his place because he slept with his father's concubine or wife. In the 12 tribes of Israel, the first tribe or the firstborn tribe was supposed to be whom? Reuben. And Reuben lost his place as the firstborn because of what he did to his father. Can somebody help us read Genesis 49, 3 to 4? Let's see what Israel said to his children. And this, he had come to bless them here because he knew he was going to depart to be with his father soon. And he said this about Reuben. Genesis 49, 3 to 4.
Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the first fruit of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. Unstable as water, you shall not have preeminence.
You shall not what?
Have preeminence.
What does preeminence mean? Sorry? Excellence. The one that stands above every other thing. The place of the firstborn that Reuben had, he lost it because he defiled his father's bed. There was another child. It was a disrespect, the utter kind of disrespect. If you remember the story of Absalom, when he listened to the counsel of Ahithophel and he defiled his own father's concubine right on the rooftop for all of Israel to see. It was utter contempt to a father for you to go into your father's wife or concubine. So this place of the firstborn was very important. Now, in our own culture, you know, we know of the firstborn of many tribes. In the British culture, the firstborn son in the royal family becomes the king. Right? You know. Or the first daughter. Sorry? The heir to the throne. If it's a man, and if there's no man that will be heir to the throne, I think they'll, like, we have a Queen Elizabeth today. Okay, sometimes they adopt sons to take the woman's place. Okay? As Temi let us know. Yeah. Very important. Very important. Thank you, Temi. So the position of the first was quite important. If you look at that, if you take time to study the book of Hebrews 11 again, or the chapter of the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, you will see that Jacob was spoken of what he did by faith. Abraham was spoken of what he did by faith. David was spoken of what he did by faith. And if you look at every character there, you will not see any mention of somebody like Esau. You will not see any mention of somebody like Ishmael. You will not any mention of anything not done, not believed upon, not taken by faith. You will not see it mentioned in that Hebrews 11. The things that even the characters in Hebrews 11 did that wasn't by faith, you will not see it mentioned. Didn't Abraham have Ishmael? Was it by faith? You will not see it mentioned. But what he did by faith was talked about. Even Lot was mentioned in Hebrews 11. What he did by faith was mentioned. The things he did not do by faith of being drunk and his daughters tricking him, you will not see it mentioned. Because as it is said, it's only by faith that we can please God. But God in his mercy erases our sin and forgets it no more. He remembers it no more. He forgets it. That is the God we serve in his mercy. So that when the annals of history, when we stand before him and the annals are read, those things that you have done, not out of faith, those things you have done, when you have received pardon of God, nobody remembers it. God doesn't remember it. Man may remember it. Just like every time we talk about, what's her name? The woman at the wall of Jericho. Rahab, thank you. Till today, When they talk about the story of Rahab, they will always say, Rahab the what? The harlot. Heaven doesn't remember her that way. Heaven remembers it because if Rahab were to be written about, it's the faith of Rahab, what she did by faith, that will be written down in the annals of history. What every one of you has done by faith is what is going to be recorded in heaven, is what is going to be recorded about you, that when you stand before God, that is what is going to be seen about you. That is what you're going to be rewarded about you. What you have not done out of faith, if you have received pardon and repentance, God remembers it no more. No more. It is gone. It is gone. No more. That is why it is only by faith that we can please God. It is only by faith that we can please God. So these things that we are talking about, they are spiritually discerned, because the man of the flesh, the woman of the flesh, he who takes the things of God with levity, he who takes the things of God and sees them as profane, he who is only driven by the flesh, what I see, what I smell, what I hear, what I touch, will never come to the full realization of these things that can only be discerned by the Spirit. We have to take it, my brothers, the things that God holds dear. Please, don't let us take it as something we joke about. The things that God holds as sacred, what he hallows, in what Jesus taught us to pray, what is the first thing that God hallows? He is what? His name. Do not join any unbeliever. Do not join the world to take the name of God in vain. Because God has hallowed his name, his honor, his person. You know how people use the name of Jesus just anyhow? They have profaned it. Do not profane the name of the God you serve. Because what God has held as sacred is important to him. And the man of the flesh will never come near God in such things. Now, we've read so much about the place of the firstborn. But why did God hold it important? Because God himself has a firstborn. And God determined and designed to do certain things through his own firstborn. Can somebody read Romans 8:29 for me, please?
Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
That who might be that firstborn? Jesus. Now, let's do some Bible exegesis. No exegesis. You know how you design. When he says that Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren, he's not saying that Jesus is created by God and is a man. It just means that Jesus has taken the place of preeminence in all creation. Every being that is created by God was created by Jesus. If we go to the book of Colossians 4, we'll see it. Colossians 1. All things were created by him. All things were made through him and for him. So Jesus has taken the place of preeminence. And the way the Father designed it, why did he design that way? I don't know. Because God designs the things he designs the way he wants. He's called his own son. So that, you know, the son of every animal, God said, if you can't redeem it, what do? You break the neck, you kill it. But he did not spare his own first son. He did not spare his own firstborn. He did not redeem his own firstborn. Every human had the opportunity to redeem their own firstborns. God did not spare his own firstborn, but sacrificed his own firstborn, his strength, his power, that we all, through the power of the Spirit, might become his. And Jesus now takes that place of preeminence, that God will now have many sons. And when he talks about sons, Timmy, it means sons and daughters, using sons as just a term for everyone. Okay? Jesus, taking the place of preeminence, wasn't spared, wasn't redeemed, but had to die that we all will have a place in him to be called his own sons. That is the importance of the place of the first son. Because God honored it, hallowed it. Because ultimately, it was a type and shadow of his own son to come, of his own first son. Also, let us open to Colossians 1:15. Can somebody read Colossians 1:15, please?
The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation.
The Son, Jesus Christ, is the image. If you want to see God, when you have seen Christ, you have seen God. When you have seen Jesus, you have seen God. When you have seen Jesus, you have seen the character of God, the person of God, because he was the one who created the whole world. The story of this Bible is the story of Jesus, not the story of man. Although man is also an actor, it is the story of Jesus. And why am I emphasizing what I'm emphasizing today, brothers and sisters? I'm emphasizing this because Jesus Christ said something, that in the last days, many will depart from the faith. Many will depart from what he has taught us, these foundational principles, these truths of the Bible. Many will give heed to seducing spirits, to beginning to preach that, and if you hear it anywhere, it's everywhere now. If you piece a lot of messages, you will see that the core of that message is that man is the center and God revolves around man to do the biddings of man. Many will depart from the faith. We are seeing it today. Many preachers who are leaving the pulpits saying they are burnt out. Christ is no longer God. It is happening. And so it is important for us to also remember these things that we have been taught, so that the things that are held sacred by God, we will not hold them as profane, because it is the person of the flesh. It is the man after the flesh that will not discern the things of the Spirit. Just as we read it in Romans 8. Romans 8, it says that therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. In King James, it adds, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In most other versions, you will see it only ends, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The person who will be condemned is the person who tries to justify himself through his own actions, trying to keep the law. The person who will be condemned is the person who does not do anything to hold, to come to the things of the Spirit. The people who are ruled by the things of the flesh. And this is a very broad category, because it differentiates two things now. You either come to God by faith,
or every other way is not of him. So I'm sorry to say, for those who think that there are many ways to God, who think that, oh, every other religion has a place before God, according to Christianity, there's only one way to God, and that is by faith in his son. The same faith that Abraham showed, that faith that Isaac showed, that faith that Rebekah showed, and we're going to see what was the faith they showed. Let's go to Hebrews. Sister Biola, please read about the four last, is it the last four or five? Hebrews 11, sorry. Where it says that all these, they died.
Hebrews 11, 39.
Okay.
And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise.
Okay.
God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us.
Then in look at that section on Abraham. Just after that, he said that they beheld a city with foundations whose maker was God.
Hebrews 11:10.
Thank you.
About Abraham, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
1 second. Abraham did what?
Waited.
He waited. Okay, what do people wait for? Sorry? Something better or something that has been promised. He was waiting for a city. And okay, let's understand it more, what Abraham had seen. Please go on.
By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed.
Yeah.
And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised.
Okay.
Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore.
Go on.
These all died in faith.
These all died in faith.
Not having received the promises.
Not having received. So we know that what they were waiting for was the promise of God. Yes.
But having seen them afar off, were assured of them,
uh-huh,
embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Okay.
For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God.
Yes.
For he has prepared a city for them.
Brothers, if you can go, sisters, if you can go home and meditate over what is said here. God is not ashamed to be called their God for one thing. You see, Abraham did not see it by physical sight. What they saw, the promise that they saw of a city whose maker and builder is God, wasn't something that we discern with our physical eyes. These were people who saw by the eyes of faith, who saw by the Spirit, not like Esau, who was a man driven by the senses. We have to evolve in our Christian walk, that the things that we seek God earnestly for no longer become the things that will perish with the earth, but the things that are would live after us. Abraham was promised something. The whole of Canaan was promised Abraham, right? But the Bible said that Abraham lived in tents in Canaan. Something that had been promised him, he had reached the land of promise. He had reached the land flowing with milk and honey. But Abraham, because you know that before they went into slavery and before they went through the desert, the Red Sea, to reach Canaan, Abraham had already reached Canaan to start with. But when he reached that place where God, when God told him, leave your father's house, your mother's house, follow me to a place where I won't tell you, And God, by Abraham, by faith, he left everything to follow God. God brought him, this is where I'm promising you. Look here, look there. This is where I'm promising you. And he said that Abraham lived in tents as though he was a stranger, having got into the land of promise. Because he had seen a city made by God. A city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. And this was what he was expecting, that maybe in his lifetime, God will bring him to that city. But God did not bring him to that city in his lifetime. And that is why I could say that all these, they died in faith, not having received the promise. Many Christians, if God doesn't give them a job, they say God doesn't exist. Forget about him. If God doesn't give them a house, he's no longer God. When the Israelites saw the Egyptians, it says, is God still with us? So the things that, you know, our eyes can see, we see enemy, we are afraid. We begin to say this and that. We don't have food, we are afraid. No money, we are afraid. Even if there's money, it's not enough. The things of the spirits cannot be discerned by the senses, brothers and sisters. God is calling us to a higher realm. Not a realm in which we discern the things that are important to him by our human senses, what we smell, what we hear, what we see. We see red stew and bread, and we think God has blessed me. Meanwhile, there are people who they have seen something far greater, and they prefer to die than to give in to what is on the earth. These are the people God deals with. These are the people God honors. These are the people God calls after himself to follow him. And it's about time we also join that army. The great cloud of witnesses that have gone, that we also, when we go, we may be with them. People who have held on to God by faith, not by sight. People who follow God by faith, not by their senses. That we also may inherit and obtain that eternal promise, which we have already seen through his word today. May God help us not miss it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. So what tells us, Lord, that there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Jesus, I thank you. Oh, may we truly come to the knowledge of these great mysteries that you have wrought before the foundations of the earth, that we might be partakers of your divine glory. Hey, Lord, only if we can see it, that we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, that we are being changed from glory to glory. Jesus, in your mercy, open our eyes that we may behold the eternal. That what those who went before us saw, that we too may see. And everything around us becomes dung in the pursuit of that which truly is life. My Lord, help us. Help us to walk in the Spirit. Help us to live in the Spirit. Take far away from us the things of the flesh. We have been ruled by our senses long enough. May we be awake now to the things of divine revelation, Lord. That each and every one of us be awake, exercising our spiritual senses before you, that we may now become people who are mature. Father, we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Father, for it's only by faith that we can please you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.